This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, I'm here with Drew Yannig, Chief DISA IT Service Management Office, and Wendy Irian Talbot, Vice President, Business Process Management Office, CSC, North American Public Sector. Wow, I almost used up half the show in those titles there, huh? Well, we're not going to focus much on titles today. We're going to focus in on business process management, or process management for large organizations. I have been around the block a few times, and I think it's pretty apparent that the new administration is trying to move the whole federal government into a new way of doing things. And you really have to have some guidelines or some ideas of where you're going. We're going to talk a little bit about ITIL and maybe about ITSM and other interesting acronyms. I have to start off with a British quote because we're talking about this British-originated standard, the ITIL. This guy named Lewis Carroll, he wrote a popular book a few years back, and here's the quote: "If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there." So that's what we're going to start off with. But I'd like to find out about your background, Wendy. Maybe a little nutshell of your background, then we'll toss to Drew, and then we'll start in this discussion. How'd you wind up at CSC, Wendy?
Oh, boy, that's an interesting question. I actually have a background in biological sciences and in statistical analysis. And when I first came to CSC, I began to work on radar system data and modeling the system data on the Aegis combat system, as a matter of fact. And that was many, many, many years ago, but helped me enter into the world of IT and engineering, and have grown into now looking at IT governance and how we do business, in the IT world, and helping us to leverage best practices and learn from the execution, spread it across the organization. So my job today as the Business Process Management Office for North American Public Sector lets me share that across all of the 30,000 employees that we have serving the federal government.
And well, I wanted you to have a federal perspective and a commercial perspective, because many of my listeners maybe beat themselves in the head and they go, oh, woe is me, this only happens in my agency. You know, it happens everywhere.
Oh, it's all over. And then one of the fun things about being with CSC is the fact that we have a global footprint. So we have 100,000 employees roughly worldwide, and in 30,000 of those serve the United States federal government. We have a huge commercial footprint within the CSC span in the United States and globally, and we're developing relationships with public sector around the world. So it's a great ability to translate experiences between the two footprints that we have.
And Drew travels all over the place. He probably has a similar background perspective as you. Drew, what is your background, please?
Well, I mean, I've been working for DISA for about 10 years, and prior to that, I was U.S. Navy, basically got into the Smart Ship program, which kind of led to IT. In the past 10 years, I've been working for DISA doing primarily process reengineering using ITIL and ITSM. We really kind of started this back in 2003, and it's kind of been gaining steam ever since. Started out kind of grassroots, and now we actually have an agency-wide Information Technology Service Management Office, newly founded, newly minted, and stood up by the director to kind of drive this convergence of processes across the agency. So it's been a long time coming, but we've been working up to this moment.
So, Drew, you have a new CIO and a new office, don't you? I mean, you've conducted the move yet. Have you made the big move yet?
Yeah, actually, I've had to relocate buildings, and so I'm at CPK, but we're all gearing up, of course, for BRAC. And that's, of course, part of the reason why we're looking at this process convergence, because the more stable our processes are when we go to BRAC and we suffer probably, you know, some loss in personnel, the better processes we have documented, then the more stable our operations will be as we make the transition. So it's kind of aimed at that and other things. There's also the director's new campaign plan, which is out on the streets today, which kind of defines the vision for the agency for the next 4 years, and you can actually get that from DISA's webpage. But it really lays out the plan for not only ITSM, but what it is we're going to do for the enterprise and to service the warfighter.
you know, I follow Drew on LinkedIn. He's always everywhere. I never know what country he's in. And so, and it's, you have an international experience too, Wendy, so I think this is good to put this in perspective. You know, if you look at the federal government and you see the big transition that Obama talks about, moving to the cloud, moving to transparency, I think it has to be done very carefully. And we're not the only organization that's had to manage change. I think, Wendy, this ITL's come up years and years ago over in England, and this is, I guess, the starting part of the conversation. I mean, they took a look at how to manage large processes and come up with some ideas that we're applying here in the federal government elsewhere, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really interesting that this standard, which originated, I think, in 1980, out of the Commerce Department in the British government, very, very quickly was recognized as something highly valuable at the same time that the IT industry, which was evolving, had tended to be a stovepipe in a traditional sense. And as time went on, folks recognized that these convergence of processes, maturation of processes, the ability to have people define roles and responsibilities and skills and create a common lexicon. And if you look at the evolution of VITAL, the version one was really focused on that technical infrastructure. Version two then took a look at the processes and sort of codified and organized them and helped people get those in the perspective. And then version three, which then came out in 2007, really pulled it together into a service management life cycle. And I think that has absolutely paralleled and even propelled the evolution of the service management today into something, as Drew was saying, we want to be able to help the government and help folks make a transition in an easier, more effective, cost-effective manner.
You know, in radio, you can use the phrase that pays. Well, the phrase that pays, I guess, is interoperability, which I hear some of that
absolutely
from the British. And right now, Drew, this is the key phrase in cloud services, interoperability. And how can you have interoperability unless you define roles? I mean, this is part of the process here. It's almost feeding into the new concept of cloud computing and software as a service, huh?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's not too vastly different from a process perspective, but if you don't have the good processes well defined, once you start offering cloud services, you're not going to be set up to enable that because, as we know, in the cloud, you're not really working in silos anymore. So you can't have your siloed service entities with their own separate service desk anymore. It becomes a much more blurrier line. So that process convergence becomes much more important for large agencies like us that are providing multiple services in multiple environments, and it's kind of a combined picture. Both the network, the cloud, and the computing environment need to be fused together to get that holistic picture, and that kind of goes back to what I was telling you about earlier, John, with this. The processes really for management of all this need to be holistic and transparent, so that if you've got a guy out there working on a service desk, he can basically look at the entire infrastructure and get a sense of what's happening at any given moment and what the history of a lot of that information was as well. So it goes beyond the processes at that point and into tool sets and how we're going to support the enterprise using those tool sets.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about some of the initiatives the federal government has in this regard, maybe talk about some organizations, a consortium where you can learn more about ITIL, maybe talk about data.gov and a couple open government initiatives that are out there. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We have two geniuses in the room today. We have Drew Yannig, Chief DISA IT Service Management Office, and Wendy Irian Talbot, Vice President, Business Process Management Office, CSC, North American Public Sector, DISA and CSC. Boy, this sounds like a government show, doesn't it? With all these acronyms and initials and everything else. And I want to have both of you in here. I thought I'd have a battle of bands, you know? You're throwing chairs at each other, going back and forth. Wendy, you don't know what you're talking about. Drew, you're an idiot, back and forth. But it seems like you're both on the same, maybe in the same plane, maybe different seats, same church, different pews. So I think there's a competition. Maybe it's a competition about framework for the way the government's going to be going. Is this true? Do you think there's a competition for the framework, or what's going on here with mapping?
Well, maybe what we ought to do is, and Drew, maybe you could talk about EIDL and the framework itself and the ITSM and describe the difference so the listeners understand where we're going with this.
Competition maybe not the exact really right word, but because, I mean, we do have multiple frameworks out there. And so if you listen to the framework purists, there's a bunch of them that are kind of zealots that run around with, you know, holding it above their head like it's the Bible or something. But the reality is more complicated than that. The stuff that we need to accomplish in the federal government related to both the business side of what it is that we do and the IT support side of it requires us actually to take many pieces of many frameworks. So, for example, we're using ITIL as our base definition framework to describe what it is that we're doing. But underneath all that, we have the business enterprise architecture, which we need for the business transformation agency out of DOD. We have ISO 20000, which gives us our certification. We have COBIT mixed in there as well for an audit trail. We have CMM MMI and the maturity model that comes out of ITSM. We have the IT Governance Institute's governance model that we have to fuse into that picture. And then on top of all that, you have many disciplines such as Lean Six Sigma and program management that you have to kind of fuse into the picture. So what you wind up with is this very complicated picture that we have to build that matches what the agency's mission is. And that's why we're very cautious to try to, we keep calling ourselves ITSM, IT Service Management, on purpose so that we're not necessarily tied down to any one specific framework. We use them all as a reference and take what is the best of the breed to create essentially what it is required to meet the government's needs. And that's happening everywhere. I mean, when I talk to a lot of people out in the sector that are doing this type of work, they're trying to deploy ERPs out there, their business management software systems, and the baseline architecture for that is BEA, the business enterprise architecture. They're having to map through those things as well. So we've got a lot of people out there in the sector that are tracking what it is that this is trying to do, kind of looking forward to seeing how we map this out so that they can kind of maybe follow in our footsteps. So it's not quite a competition, but it kind of resembles one in some fashion, I guess.
Wendy, same thing happening in the commercial world?
Absolutely. I was going to hop right in there with that. We certainly see, from an industry perspective, all of those frameworks are out there. They're in use. ITIL is important from an individual's perspective. It also enables you to get trained and certified in specific disciplines in IT service delivery. And so from a staff capability perspective, we found that it's very, very useful, provides high value, enables individuals to speak a common lexicon and implement common processes in a way that you don't have to spend time going through communication difficulties. So that helps us tease apart ITIL from that framework discussion a little bit. But the convergence of the frameworks is something that the Systems and Software Consortium, of which I'm the chairman of the board of directors this year, is absolutely working on and trying to discern where these frameworks are going, how are they going to converge, what is it that the government is really going to settle in on as the guidepost, because it's not a simple question. You know, as Drew pointed out, you really do have to take what's appropriate for each engagement and apply it. The benchmarks that we might use as a supplier to the government do help us enable us to focus our energy. So, for example, ISO 20000 is an organizational certification and capability. And if you have a supplier that has that, you can rest assured that they have a set of processes and people and technology that can perform within the IT service management framework. But then it gets a little bit more complex, and there is the CMMI for services, and there is a maturity model coming out of ITSM. And how do these things play? Which one will triumph? Will they ultimately converge into a single model? Is a good question. And that's one of the things that the Systems and Software Consortium is struggling with, working with, dealing with that challenge. It's a consortium, nonprofit of industry members and government affiliates that is working on that very question.
Wendy, I have a 30-year-old friend who is married 2 years, has a little baby, and just took a job at the FAA. He used to be a pilot, and he thought he was going to make a difference. He's a project manager.
Very good.
And if he's going to have a career with the federal government and he's interested in this, should he start attending the meetings, or where to get more information on this consortium?
Website, first place. We're also on Facebook. The website is systemsandsoftware.org. And individuals don't become members. There's a lot of information there, but a company would become a member. Mm-hmm. And as an affiliate within the membership, it provides a safe haven for industry and government to come together in a non-conflict of interest way, where we share best practices, lessons learned. Some of the very early work around the services CMMI actually germinated within that organization, and they worked closely with Carnegie Mellon and the SCI to develop that model. Also very, very active with the government in working groups, developing these standards and trying to put some order around this quagmire of the interrelated standards that are emerging.
Drew, let's go back to my friend Joe here. He went to Thomas Jefferson High. He's a real bright kid, went to Tech, and he has some interest in this area. From the perspective of a federal IT professional listening to the show, Drew, how can they get more information on this whole concept of business process management and ITIL?
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of sources out there for where you can get this information. I mean, if you just do a Google on ITSM or ITSMF, go to the Information Technology Service Management Forum page. They have a wealth of information on ITIL, its origins, what's in it, how do you get trained, where do you get your certification. I mean, you can go all the way up through master's level now. If you've already done version 2 training, they have bridge courses to go through and do that. Of course, there's also other certifications like ISO 20000 and COBIT certifications, and and those are readily available. You can find those out on the webpage. There are also other organizations that are involved, such as the ITSM Academy, and the ITSM Academy has actually stood up a process engineering certification, which basically focuses on certifying folks that are actually skilled in doing process engineering. So, because one of the challenges that we've always had in hiring subject matter experts to work in this is finding folks with real practical experience. A lot of people go out and they get their certification and they get real smart on the books, and that's great, and they come through and say, I am an ITIL expert, I've got certifications, yeah. And it's like, oh, that's good, but have you ever actually done it? No? Okay, I really don't need you on my staff, because the reality is much more complicated.
So process engineering different from systems engineering?
They're very similar. I mean, so, you know, it's often a question mark, where does the tool start and the process end? And that's a complicated discussion. You kind of start with the process, and then you start doing your data mapping and start looking at the tool sets that are available, and then that becomes a very open and active dialogue between both the system and the process that you're trying to design inside the system. So in the end state, you could say there it's a symbiotic relationship, and you can't really separate the two. So much so that, you know, discussions about should our tool set people be a separate group of people from our process people? And you could have it that way, but the reality is they really need to be joined at the hip. Because if they don't work in conjunction with one another, you're probably going to wind up with
I'm just thinking of someone listening to the show, if they're a project manager for the government, would this be a career path for them? Or it almost seems like both you have interesting backgrounds. It's almost like you have to have experience in a wide variety of topics in order to understand systems working together, and then you move up the ladder. And you're almost looking at it from an outsider, because you can't be too deep in the weeds. You have to look at it from 40,000 feet. It's interesting where you have to have a perspective that's not easily gained, is it?
Well, if you remember when we first started talking, we talked about interoperability and integration. And I think what we're seeing here is, just as these disciplines previously were stovepiped, the systems of systems concept applies to how we're doing business. And that's exactly where this has driven us. You asked about systems engineering and process engineers. Process engineers, the good ones, are very, very hands-on experienced engineers who probably have a systems perspective, probably are trained as systems engineers. They're applying that knowledge and the techniques to how we're doing business, how we're executing business. And that is something that, I think Drew and I both have backgrounds that are very broad that we've brought to this experience.
Needed, apparently, yeah.
Yeah, and it's worked out really well.
You were listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with two people about process management for the federal agencies here. We're talking with Drew Yannig, Chief DISA IT Service Management Office, and Wendy Irian Talbot, Vice President, Business Process Management Office, CSC, North American Public Sector. This is a real quick show, and this last block is always a quick block. Drew, what I wanted you to do is maybe give our listeners some guidance if they want to pursue this further. I talked about my friend Joe, and he may want to learn more about this whole idea of business process management. What kind of suggestion do you have for them?
Well, the suggestion I was going to give was essentially for government entities out there that are trying to figure out how to do this. There is a government forum, a service management government forum. You can actually find it on LinkedIn. If you do a search on it's actually sponsored by HDI. They are the logistical support element. So you'd have to do a search under HDI Government Forum. And it's a body of federal, state, and local entities that meet twice a year. And what we do is basically exchange lessons learned, talk about service management practices, talk about enterprise architecture, how tool sets are working, security qualifications, et cetera, et cetera. For example, DISA is going to go out in June and brief them on PKI and CAC capabilities because municipalities are not quite there yet. So it's a really good news story because we get to learn not only from the little guy but from the big guys in the block as well. And they just added Industry Canada to the mix as well. So we have an international flavor as well from our folks across the border who are bringing some interesting perspectives to the conversation, especially with the bilingual requirements that they have in both California and in Canada. So you can Google that or find it on LinkedIn, and we do post a lot of information out on that page as well as have the meetings. Beyond that, I would encourage you to go to www.disa.mil to look up our campaign plan so you can see the initiatives of where the agency is going. And there has been discussion about potentially having some mini conference-type sessions to inform the community on what DISA is trying to do. Because, as you know, our conference this year in Nashville got flooded out. So there has been discussion about how do we engage with industry at that point from there.
Yeah, the Nashville storm was the secret storm no one knows about, but it happened, didn't it?
It happened. happened.
Oh, yeah. Horrifying.
Yeah. Bilingual, I keep thinking of French and then the French in Canada. But we're not going to pick on the Canadians here. You know? We're not going to pick on them. That's not fair. So, Wendy, CSC has obviously an impact with the federal government. What role do you see CSC playing with helping people like Drew or my listeners make this transition to the bigger picture?
Well, there's a couple of things. I think one of the things to keep in mind for the government is as you're looking to do IT managed service delivery, and taking care of your own IT things in-house, you want to make sure that you have an industry partner who's been there and done that. You want to make sure that they have folks who have a foundational level understanding, that the leadership is enlightened and engaged. And CSC has been an early adopter of these methodologies and helped to develop them and deploy them and continues to do so. One of the other things you might do is get involved with the Systems and Software Consortium, systemsandsoftware.org. And that organization, again, is a coalition of industry and government partners. And we seek to share our knowledge and our resources in a very non-confrontational, non-conflict kind of way, and share best practices, share lessons learned, co-invest in developing solutions. And I think those kinds of partnerships have yielded a great benefit to the government in terms of enhanced integration, faster efficiencies being realized. Measurement is a core foundational element of that. You've got to understand where you are so that you can see where you're going. And certainly the consortium and CSC both are very, very sensitive to that and can help you work on service level agreements and defining your objectives and linking your vision and your business objectives to proven implementation technologies. And when the two parties come together, the government and industry, the whole notion of interoperability, integration, and convergence that we've talked about today, it really manifests, it grows, it evolves in a way that's just very high value, you know, ultimately for the government and the American people.
A service level agreement, that's another 3-hour show. We could have a show every half hour for the next several days just on that alone. We just have a couple minutes here, Drew. For the benefit of our listeners, could you define this concept, this ISO 20,000 real quickly?
Well, ISO 20000 essentially is the International Standards Organization version of ITIL, to put it bluntly. It's not precisely the same thing as ITIL, but it enables your organization, not your individual people, but your organization to get essentially certified, which allows you to kind of put a victory flag on top of that and let the world know that you are using best practices. I'd like to foot stomp something that she said a moment ago, which was if you're in the government sector and you're looking for folks to help you with process reengineering and develop system support for your IT infrastructure, that experience level is definitely going to be key. And I would caution all of the Govy folks not to fall for the I've got ITIL certified folks on staff. Look for people who actually have done this, who actually have practical experience. This has been down this road, and I'm telling you, if you don't get the people who actually have done it, it's a tough road to hoe. It really is.
I bet it is. We can continue this conversation in a few months. You know, 2 years ago, we had Drew in the studio. Complete different conversation. Mm-hmm. And I imagine 2 years from now, things will all change. This is a rather fluid environment. This big picture of Obama moving from bricks and mortar to the virtual world can't be done without rules. We started off talking about Lewis Carroll and defining the path, which is dress it up and get details on exactly what this path is all about. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we spoke with two folks about ITIL. We spoke with Drew Yannig, Chief DISA IT Service Management Office, and Wendy Erie and Talbot, Vice President, Business Process Management Office, CSC North America. Thanks, folks.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Morning stretches, biking to work, quick walks at lunch, shopping at the farmer's market, getting all your antioxidants, flavonoids, and omega-3s while staying properly hydrated. Oh, and don't forget 8 hours of good sleep. Trying to live a healthy lifestyle doesn't leave a lot of time for managing your health care. That's why Kaiser Permanente offers members My Health Manager, an online tool you can use to proactively manage healthcare for you and your family members, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have a question for your doctor? Email your doctor's office and get a response. Make, cancel, or reschedule routine appointments. Get test results, check recent immunization records, view most of your medical history, and order prescription refills. all in a secure environment, all at your convenience, all so you have more time to thrive. To learn more about My Health Manager, visit kp.org. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility.